The next agenda item is on page 132, endorsement of weed management strategy and action plan for Kingborough Municipal Area 2016 to 2026. And there is a recommendation on page 134.
I'll move it.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. And I think Councillor Chadden is trying to second, am I right?
Yep.
Thank you. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I'm happy to move this. We had a very good workshop in relation to this. I was going to say some months ago, but I think it's probably only a matter of weeks ago. It was months ago? Oh, yeah. I thought time was just going really fast. And I'm very grateful for that workshop because it presented this strategy to us in a way that those of us who don't have expertise in this area could understand. I fully commend the strategy. I think it's and the action plan. I think it's a positive step forward for us, and so therefore I move it.
Thank you, Councillor Berry.
I support this. I just have a question. In the north, it's a weed that I particularly dislike. In the North Barker report, it had Pinus radiata as being a category 2 weed, and when we come to the recommendation, it's a category 4 weed. I'm just seeking to ask how come it dropped down the scale. Was it as a result of submissions, or perhaps someone could explain to me?
Or would you like to know whether it's a category 2 or a category 4?
Tell you, that's what it is. In our recommendation, it's category 4, but North Barker recommended category 2.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Ms. Reichardt, would you like to explain to Councillor Berry, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It was a very good pick up there, Councillor Berry. It actually wasn't a North Barker recommendation. They originally said to us, is there anything besides the declared weeds that you act upon as a priority? And we did say, yes, pines we act on council land as a priority. And they inserted that at a level 2. And when we went back and sort of went through with a fine-tooth comb the strategy, a category 2 means that we will eradicate them within 10 years, which is not realistic. And we want a weed strategy that sets some high bars, but it also needs to be realistic. And that's why it dropped down to a category 4. So that still is a huge emphasis on it. It still puts it into the declared weed status, but at a manageable level.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
I guess I'd put my hat on as being the chairman of the Kingborough Landcare Advisory Group, and I know that there are a huge amount of community groups, and their main function is actually to get rid of weeds in their track maintenance and reserve maintenance. I think it's really good that there is a partnership between the community and council, the state and federal government, and I think if we were not to support this motion, it would be unthinkable. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Grace.
On page 172, council a development application approval process, to present reduce the element of risk of spreading weeds, etc. But I believe strongly that all this stuff should be part of a planning scheme in various areas or zones, because you then don't have to go out. If you want to make an application to build a house, you don't have to go and get a weed management report. And I think it's time that even the state government put this stuff in, so it identifies the area of these particular weeds in the planning scheme.
I think you're right in relation to dwellings. Am I, as Councillor Grace, right there, Mr. Perry, in relation to dwellings, general dwellings?
Through the chair, I might take that one on notice, to be honest. Yeah, I'm just not sure.
I know we talk about it when we're doing a commercial building, but certainly if it's a straightforward home, I don't think we do that, so it's a good thought. Yep.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It might seem simple that some of these single dwellings and small blocks, but to be honest, some of these small blocks contain our largest infestations of our highest priority weeds. So in these circumstances, we're just saying we need to see something in place that says, where is the contractor taking this soil? Where are they washing down? Just because the block size is small doesn't mean the impact isn't massive.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what Councillor Grace was alluding to. So thank you for that confirmation. Next speaker I've got down there, if that was all, is Councillor Percy.
Thank you. I'd just like to congratulate Renee on such a very concise strategy. I think the strength of it is also the amount of consultation that's gone into this with the general community plus other interested groups. And I must say, I'm also pleased to see marum grass gets a mention in the report. Thank you.
So am I. Councillor Chadden.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at Appendix 3, where it lists all the species and their common names, etc. You know, there are a lot of residential blocks around which have houses built on them that have things like Patterson's Curse, bone seed in particular, particularly in my area. In fact, I informed a neighbour the other day that they had quite a lot of bone seed on their property. They didn't even know what it was, and it's in flower too, which is a worry. So I really thought Councillor Berry would have come round with his little trusty saw and do a little job, but I couldn't find him. But there are a lot of these particular weeds, and I know we've had some weed books and things before, but I think we've really got to up our ante and have a lot of the pictures of these particular things, because a picture does sell 1,000 words, and we've really got to get it out there in the community that the Cotone aster, which has been a popular thing in a lot of gardens, a lot of the different types of Cotone asters, and all those sorts of things are in people's yards, and they just don't realise now that they're on these lists, and we've got to somehow get out there and educate the regular ratepayer of the municipality of what is in their backyard and shouldn't be there for the benefit of the whole community. And I think we need, I mean, this is a fantastic report and everything, but that it's too big for the average person to read. This is the starting point. To endorse this is the starting point to make sure that we get the information out to the average citizen out there, that they can work with council to make sure we get rid of those unwanted plants that are dangerous to the community.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that Council endorse the Weed Management Strategy and Action Plan, Kingborough Municipal Area 2016-2026, and it be made available for implementation at all levels of Council. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 247, Information Reports. You've moved it, Councillor Freet. Thank you. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Winter. That the following reports be noted. Mayor's Communications, are there any questions? Yep.
We all die for our lights then. It's like that race that the surf lifesaver, you've got to run for the flag and catch it first. Just a minor thing, there's two typos in 1 and 2, the date. It says the 6th. The 6th and the 7th of the 6th for the first two. I assume it's meant to be the 10th.
They are, yes.
I was interested in number... Now I've lost it. See, I shouldn't have scrolled through. Number 28.
Number 28.
A meeting with the Huon Valley Council Commissioner and their General Manager. Could you enlighten us on that, please?
Certainly. That was, I guess, if you like, a meeting to pick up from where we were when we were dealing with the Council of Councillors, and the Commissioner wanted to, and certainly Huon Valley sought a meeting to pick up where they were at, and that is being progressed.
So just to clarify, so even though the council has been dismissed and a commissioner put in place, under the Act, she still has the commissioner still has the power to...
The commissioner is the councillors, yes.
To do those negotiations.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So we're following down the road everything bar amalgamation. Councillor Wiener?
Yes, that debacle we had earlier wouldn't have happened if the commissioner was in charge. Couldn't have voted against herself. I was interested in item 14, Mayor. You're meeting with the Premier and Mr. Street.
Yep. That was set up mainly to talk on Bruny Island issues.
How'd that go?
We advised them of the issues that we're facing and also took the liberty of discussing our motion in relation to the levy and explain why we were looking at the levy, whereas the levy was going to provide infrastructure money for both the local and state government. So we just elaborated further on that, particularly when there was a 500 signature submission gone to the Premier. We spoke about the works that we're doing there, which is the toilet at Alona. And at that stage indicated to him that we were hoping that it was going to be Christmas, but at this stage it looks like being about the end of January, unfortunately. And just covered off on the ferry contract, that it was important that, you know, the community consultation happen on that, which he's agreed will be happening. And it was a very short but sharp meeting, and I think we both came out of that knowing what the other one was going to do or where the other one was at.
So did you get a firm response on the levy idea from the Premier at that meeting?
Look, the main reason of bringing that up with the Premier was, as I said, that there was a petition with some 500 signatures, and we took the opportunity, if you like, of explaining the reason behind it and spoke about other islands within the country that have levies, but of course they also don't necessarily have the subsidy that they have. So I won't say the Premier is for it, but I won't say he's against it either. So I think he's got an open mind, and it's up to us if we want to proceed, because it would be a council fee, not a state government fee, if that was to occur. But of course it's not permissible under the contract. The other issue talking about the ferry was road safety, and that under the present contract, the contractor to the ferry is unable or is not possible to issue road safety flights because that contravenes, and we made the suggestion that when the new contract is done, there needs to be an opportunity to introduce things such as that in the new contract.
Yeah, I'm sure the Road Safety Committee will appreciate your advocacy on that matter. Did you get the sense that the Premier and Mr. Street understand the seriousness of the infrastructure deficit that we have on Bruny Island? I mean, it seems to me that if they don't support the levy, they need to be putting forward an alternative suggestion for Bruny Island, because we have a serious infrastructure deficit on the island, driven by tourism. So I suppose I'm asking, this might be my final question, do you get a sense or is there a plan for how we're going to address those serious road safety and other infrastructure deficits on Bruny Island?
Those points that you mentioned were in fact discussed, and I believe that we made them well aware of where we're coming from, and as I said, in relation to the levy, we explained why. And I would believe that the government would be receptive, and not saying that they would agree to it or disagree, but they would be receptive to our desire to charge a levy in due course if we so desired to do that. And I'm sorry, I can't give you a yes and no, because I haven't really got from the Premier and Nick Street MP, but they're certainly well aware of the issues and why we want to have the opportunity of charging those. We also indicated that, of course, anyone going to any part of the state on a holiday or a vacation the last thing that they think of is one of the perhaps the worst scenarios. And the worst scenario we use, that if you're coming back from Bruny Island and you spent one day or a few hours or even a couple of days there and you had to stop at Roberts Point, you're in the 1830s perhaps, and therefore that would be a lasting memory rather than a nice brand new facility that would be far more receptive, and that's what, or receptive rather, that's what we were talking about by saying that everyone coming needs to have an enjoyable experience. And I'm not sure who was next. Councillor Bastone.
Okay, I'm just interested in number 21, meeting with Andrew Wilkie.
Yes, that came about when I received a letter from Andrew Wilkie MP in relation to independent living units, and then I found out from another of you that you all received those letters, and upon receipt of that letter we arranged for Amanda to set up an appointment, and we went to spoke with Mr Wilkie explaining the situation here and how we've not charged 100% of our rates from day one, that in company with the couple of companies that provide the independent units, living units, that we did in fact engage discussion with those operators, and with those operators' consent that, or agreement with our proposal, that we've introduced a 10% first year, an extra 10% the second year, and so forth. And I got the impression there that Mr. Wilkie MP was more than happy with our response, that he was opposed to the response where a council may just introduce that out of nowhere and leave the residents in a situation where they've got to meet all the rates. We indicated that is not the case in Kingborough. We couldn't speak for the other councils involved, but certainly he took that on board, and I think we came out of there in his view smelling of roses because we'd done the right thing. Councillor Fox? Sorry, Councillor Atkinson, I think, was
sorry.
Next.
This is like bingo. I've crossed three off.
Whichever
already.
Way.
I've had three of mine asked already. Number nine, Opera's Business Sales Manager. What was that meeting regarding?
Yes, Mr Gillam came and spoke to us. He's the Sales Manager Tasmania. Probably came because his boss sent him. But came down with the idea that they are fair dinkum in offering their services, and their services have been incomplete through our municipality, and some of the works that they want to do, and they believe that their system is as good if not better than anyone else's, and just wanted to advise us that and the work that they're doing to ensure that our municipality is almost fully covered. When I say almost fully covered, I think South Bruny is the only area not covered by any of the techos.
Great, thank you. 25, the Greater Hobart Congestion Summit. Is there anything? I mean, if there's nothing to report, don't worry, but I just wonder if there's anything came out of it.
It's proceeding, and there's been some expert advice and from people. We did have Bob Cotgrove, who spoke on a number of occasions, and I think after he spoke once, he probably repeated that a number of times. But I think, not necessarily following his letter to the law or whichever. Not all these points were taken up, but it's proceeding. But there are some issues that need to be covered, and I think really the minister is really endeavouring to achieve these results. And we did indicate to him that our belief was that it was today, that was on the 31st of October, was the best that highway was ever going to be in our regard, and that whatever happened, that we were working with Metro. And one of the issues that we flagged on that was that if Metro increased their penetration of residents using the service, which we'd like to see, then we needed to also talk with Metro so that Metro doesn't clog up Kingston and other areas. So we are guarded, if you like, in the sense that we don't want everyone coming into Kingston to catch a Metro bus and then clogging up all of our streets and car parks with parking. So we did flag that as an issue, and the general manager for Metro did take that on board.
Right, thank you. And last but not least, number 26, Senator, the Honourable Erica Betts.
Yeah, we spoke to Senator Abetz regarding round three of the Stronger Regions,
yes,
and expressed our dissatisfaction and everything else that we could on that. We are endeavouring to get the reasons why we were not successful, and upon receipt of that, we're going to schedule another meeting with Mr. Betts because we are looking from him and his fellow senators some ways forward.
Yep, thank you.
Councillor Fox.
Item 29, where the Cabinet and Premier came to speak with councillors. I just wanted to point out that I thought Councillor Wass described many of our issues very well and spoke very well, but at that meeting, which was nearly a month after, or not quite, a few weeks after the previous one, ex-Councillor Street expressed quite strong opposition to the levy, and the Premier raised his eyebrows, and I made a point of pointing out that we have got many toilets on Bruny Island which are not on the national toilet site.
We're not debating this, are we?
No, we're not.
We're asking the Mayor.
Yeah, you should be asking questions, not making speech.
Yeah. Has there anything been done since that meeting to the National Toilet Site webpage, and has Council improved their webpage and also the Huon tourist map, which doesn't show any toilets? Has anything been done about that?
In relation to tourism, I'd have to ask Mr. Ferry, and I'll ask Mr. Arnold the other questions.
Through the Chair, I'm not aware that the map has actually been changed. The map doesn't show every public toilet in the Kingborough and Huon area. I think that, yeah, well, you either show them all or you don't show any, I suppose, so that's what's happened. I guess it's not something which has ever been shown on the map in the past.
And just for your own information, Councillor Fox, on that meeting with the Premier and Mr. Street MP, we did in fact talk about signs with toilets, areas and distance over on Bury. Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Fox, David Reeve has tasked his asset management team to liaise with the National Toilet Register to rectify the situation.
Did you have a question, Councillor Berry? No? Okay, we'll move on to the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee meetings minutes, which start at page 252. If there's any questions or discussion.
The only comment, if I may, is one of the representatives that comes to road safety was quite keen to make sure that we got information out about sharing the road and the path on the Taroona Bonnet Hill section, and how we've got to still educate motorists and cyclists. That a couple of the cyclists have got real concerns, and motorists have got real concerns on the Road Safety Committee. Not that we've put the cycle away, and don't get me wrong, it's making sure that people use it correctly and making sure that cyclists are in single form, not in dual form, going up there. That's not designed as a dual cycleway, but also making sure that motorists handle it correctly when passing cyclists as well. So it was something that I would dare say one of the representatives from your cycle group, Richard Langman, will probably report back from road safety to your committee, Mr. Chairman.
Can I raise a question to what Councillor Chair? Councillor Chen, road safety and cycling, you're not on the cycling one, but the road safety, how do you keep 1.5 away? What's going on with that law? 1.5, you're supposed to be out. You couldn't pass a motorcycle, a bike on the Bonnet Hill if you kept 1.5 out. You'd be in the middle of the road.
You're allowed to be. You're allowed to go out over double white lines to pass, if it's safe to do so, you can go out over double white lines to leave 1.5 to the cyclist. And I know Councillor Atkinson will probably even add more.
Just to clarify, at that speed limit it's only 1 metre. Yeah. I think it's over 80k, it's 1.5. The other point that State Growth made is it's currently not actually law, it's recommended, but they're intending to bring it in as law soon. But yes, it's at your discretion. If you think it's safe, you can cross double white lines to overtake.
Yeah. Any obstruction for that matter?
Yeah.
All right, thank you, councillors. We'll move on to the Kingborough Access Advisory Committee meeting minutes. Any questions or comments? You've done all right, Paula.
I'll ask a question.
Councillor Atkinson.
I just noted there's a point there about the pedestrian crossings in the Channel Court car park. The particular one I was talking about, the one near Timeless Way, but I noticed they've all been removed, all those pedestrian crossings around from the car park to the shops. There's about three that have been scraped off, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if anyone knows any more.
They weren't designated pedestrian crossings. They did not have a pedestrian crossing sign. They were yellow, not white. They were not pedestrian crossings. And they were very, very dangerous because 90% of motorists said they weren't pedestrian crossings, and I believe that's why they were removed.
Thank you, Councillor. All right, that's it. We'll go to the next report. 1967 Bushfire Commemoration Working Group. There's a report there. Any questions or comments?
Councillor Grace, did you give through you mayor to Councillor Grace? Did you receive that listing of the business names that you required?
No, I didn't through you, Mayor. My computer's been down since Wednesday, and when I say down, it is dead. Council one, I didn't hear what you said. It's depressed. Anyway, it is down, so I haven't had an email since last Wednesday. So I don't know, but no. And could I urge all councillors, please, if you have some people outstanding in the community that you think should be given an invitation, we need that to come forward as soon as, because the major report will come to council next on the 28th. The committee has made some recommendations of the guest list and left a lot off that list because they weren't they didn't know the people as such, you know. So we'll need to be mindful of that. Apart from that, we're sort of looking at about 250 to 300 guests. Plus other people. They're looking at a barbecue. So it shall be a very, very full day, and Father Hope, Kevin Jeff, addressed the meeting last Wednesday with their bell ringing and et cetera, and they're going to join council on the walk down the avenue, but I think that's about all, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Atkinson?
I said one question. I was looking at that draft ceremony, and it said 1:45 traditional greeting. I assume, is that like an Indigenous acknowledgement we're talking about that?
Yeah, I haven't got it in front of me, but probably so.
Oh, look, it just says...
I assume so.
Yeah. I wondered...
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Has there been discussion there? I mean, the normal formality is if... Say someone like the mayor does an acknowledgement. If you want to do a proper welcome to country, you get someone from the Aboriginal community to do it, and that's normal, large formal events.
Yeah, that's what we will be doing, or that's what we'll be recommending.
Yep, great, thanks.
Yep.
All right, thank you. So we'll go back to page 247. I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Winter, that the following information reports be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against. That is carried unanimously. Can I have an indication, without mentioning names, if there's going to be any applications for leave of absence? There is. Okay. So on page 267, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session, moved by Councillor Fox and seconded by Councillor Berry. that in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the following items to be dealt with in closed session: applications for leave of absence. I'll put that recommendation. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? It's carried unanimous. Can I have a mover and a second, please? Councillor Chatterton and Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the council move into closed session. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. In accordance with the Kingborough Council meeting audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease, and the open session of council adjourned at 8:31.